I'd like to start this morning's message with a share a story with you that I received permission from Carol Sladen in Miami, Florida, to share this. And it's a special story of some true incidences. Carol is a longtime friend of my wife, Joy's. Joy brought her to the Lord many, I'm thinking 40 years ago. And Carol has been a faithful servant, although she has gone through tragedy with the loss of her husband. She has gone through tremendous medical calamities and trouble with walking and problems with her legs. But she has been very faithful all this time of sharing her hope with everyone she comes in contact with. She'll build a bond with them, a friendship, and then she'll look for the right moment to make sure that they know who Jesus is and how to have a relationship with him. But several weeks ago, Carol's friend, Joan Herpin, committed suicide. Carol had tried in the past to share the hope of Jesus with her, and she would kind of brush her off, saying, "I don't want to talk about religion." But Carol knew that recently she'd been very, very troubled. And so she tried to discuss it, and she just kind of got shut down. So she didn't try again, and then all of a sudden, this lady was gone. Carol felt guilt that she didn't try harder. And I'm not sure it would have made a difference, but I know she did try. But in the same token, she still felt bad. And then she had another friend, Donna Klingbill, who was, her husband had died. She remarried. She remarried a very abusive alcoholic. And they lived in Miami in the wintertime and Cody, Wyoming in the summer. And they had gone back, Carol had many times tried to share her faith with Donna. And she had gone back to Cody, and Carol felt bad that she hadn't spent more time trying to share that blessed hope. And while she was in Cody, I guess she informed her husband that they were going to get a divorce. So he shot and killed her and then took his own life. Carol was depressed over what she considered her inaction. Though I don't think she really had inaction, because she was doing something else without talking. She was sharing what the life of a Christian looks like. She was sharing her own personal example. And as much as we want to share Jesus Christ, we are not responsible for other people's lives and actions. Yes, the Bible says we should be our brother's keeper. But sometimes we can do so much and then it has to be a responsibility that's accepted. But I think Carol showed courage, and I think courage is a tremendous quality that we all need to have. And our courage comes from the Holy Spirit. When God gives us an assignment, an opportunity, we need to have the courage to do it. I mean, think about this ragtag bunch of blue-collar disciples that were called the apostles. Boy, in the garden, as the arrest mob came, they scattered in fear. They all abandoned him. In fact, one of them, his kind of leading man, even denied him three times. But something transformed them, gave them the courage to stand against persecution, popular opinion, and even death, to proclaim the truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. They developed the courage to influence people to spread the gospel around the world. God gave them the courage and the conviction not to give up, even when faced by Rome with all its might. In Deuteronomy 3:16, the Lord tells us, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." In Ezekiel 3:17-18, it says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall surely give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from the wicked way, to turn from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand." Nothing happens that's a surprise to God. Nothing. The next quality I think that we need to really have and display is conviction. Conviction that we not only have received, but we trust God's word. I mean, being totally convicted that God's word is true and having the faith to use that conviction to act regardless of the circumstances. I mean, Jesus' ministry only lasted 3 years. It ended in betrayal and criminal execution. And yet no other leader or teacher in all of history has had a greater impact on the world. Because of their conviction, the early church took the responsibility to champion the cause of the poor, the cause of widows, the cause of those without hope. Professor Glenn Hinson writes, "The example of Christians' high moral standards and the practice of offering charity to all, regardless of social status, made a deep impression upon unbelievers." You see, when we have faith and conviction, we have that motivation to get out of our comfort zone and make a difference for Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And in John 20:29, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." I think today's church could earn a doctorate in cultural impact just integrating courage and conviction. If we integrated that into the fabric of our lives, we would make such a difference in this world, in this culture. And the third tremendous quality is compassion. Jesus said, "Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself." Those weren't suggestions. Those were commandments. You see, we live in a very broken world, a world desperately in need of love, in need of God's love. And believing that the Lord's command to love one another compels us to go outside our comfort zone, we need to show that love and compassion to everyone. That example. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." My wife, Joy, adopted that as her life scripture. She lost her husband to leukemia. She lost her goddaughter to leukemia. She lost her 32-year-old son to a terrible plane crash. And those things, instead of making her bitter, made her better. Now, I will admit, she spent some time angry with God and having some serious discussions with him. And at one point, I remember where she told me she had stood at the window in the guest bedroom and looked out at heaven and said, "God, where were you when my son died?" And the Holy Spirit spoke to her. God said, "I was in the same place as when my son died." That made all the difference. From then on, she did and has done and continues to live out this verse as best she can. See, God continues to call men, women of all ages to do great works for him. But that great work can be a simple act of kindness that God redeems in a spectacular way. I mean, it could be just a listening ear, a sympathetic heart, a gentle touch. I want to share a great example with you, and I wanted to share this. I'm going to use the New Living Testament because this story seems to just come alive in that version. This is the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, and he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here." Jesus said, "Which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits?" The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." I'd also like to share with you some words from author Dave Burchett from his website article on hope. Sometimes we wonder, is God still there? Sometimes we wonder, does he really care about what's happening in our lives? Sometimes we wonder if it will ever get any better. I mean, those are questions that every honest believer in Jesus Christ has wrestled with. Our identity is not worldly success, but who we are in Christ. God says who we are in his word. On your worst day, you are loved and cherished by the creator of the universe, by God Almighty. Whether you've tripped and fallen because of sin, whether you've doubted in your heart, are all these things true? He is steadfastly there. We sang about that this morning, about his steadfast love. I mean, think about this. The Christian gospel is that I am so flawed, Jesus had to die for me. And yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. I'm reminded of the powerful lyrics of a song by Bart Millard and Mercy Me. That song is, and it's going to be hard to read, so I'll read it to you. Even if. But I want you to listen to these words. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope's still in you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope's still in you alone. Being a follower of Christ, a Christian, is very counter to the culture we live in today. I mean, loving your neighbor is not always easy. But I want to tell you that faith that is genuine is lived out every day. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to live out that faith. You see, I consider a life pursuing the impossible goal of becoming like Jesus, being more courageous, having conviction, and showing compassion to be the most more valuable than any other honor or possession we could attain. In our Sunday school this morning, we were talking about some of the wonderful things that God has provided. And one of those was redemption. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we claim that blood. It's not a popular topic in a lot of churches. They've even taken away songs from the hymnal about the blood of Christ. But that blood washed us, and it gave us new life. We are born again into a new life. And because of that redemption, all we had to do was accept it. Because of the price that was paid, all we had to do was accept that gift. But because of our acceptance of that gift and our love that Jesus gave for us, I mean, we love because he loved us first. But because of that love, we can show that same love to everyone, even the ones we don't want to. Mother Teresa said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." One person trusting God, receiving his love and grace, and then giving that love and grace back to others can make a difference. One person can make a difference. I know, like Carol Sladen in Miami, Florida, that there have been many times that I have missed opportunities. And afterwards, I knew that that was an opportunity that God brought into my path. And I too, like Carol, felt I failed him. But you know, I think that happens to all of us. So where do we go from here? What do we do? We all try to pursue holiness. We have the righteousness of Christ. You know, there's a lot of songs that say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that is true. But you are also a saint. You have been washed clean. And because of that washing, that regeneration, that love that was given to us, God wants us to go forth and share that with all the world. But there's such an encouragement at the end of Matthew that says, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So we might go and we might have some fear or anxiety about what to say or what to do, but he's always there with us. And he will give us the words if we will be faithful and obedient to share them. I hope that I don't miss any more opportunities. I hope that you don't miss any more opportunities. That having courage and conviction and compassion will bleed through to where everyone sees that in you. So I pray God will bless you with those qualities. And know that you're not alone. There's a whole church standing with you too. Father, we thank you for your love, your compassion to us. We thank you that you have blessed us. You have redeemed us. We are yours. We are your children. We are your saints. You have provided everything we need. And whether we're in the deepest valley or standing on the pinnacle of the mountain, we bless you. We honor you. We pray that you will give us wisdom to see the opportunities and the people you bring into our lives, that we can show that love you have given us to. We pray that you will lead us and guide us in all things. Now would you please stand for the benediction? Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace. You are excused.